From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 24th day of February, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And K-State's Mike Wolverton will be here to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, Indiana Senator Richard Lugar wants to allow Cuba to buy agricultural goods on credit. U.S. lawmakers are calling the WTO to task for a ruling made against the United States. And USDA says it will hire an outside firm to ensure civil rights are not being violated as the agency implements programs. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And I'll have complete details of our all-day Ag Outlook meeting that's scheduled for the Beef House in just 2 weeks. Put March the 10th on your calendar. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the nearby contract for the wheat. Soft red at 515 and a quarter, 4 3/4 higher today for the March. The May at 526 and a quarter, up 4 3/4, and July at 538 and a half. A nickel higher on the day. March corn futures, 354 and a quarter, up 2.5 cents. May at 363, 2.25 higher. July at 272.5, up 1 3/4. And the September corn at 381.5, a penny and a half higher. December futures, 394.25, up 2 3/4. March of 2010 at 406 3/4, up 2 3/4. Crude oil is now $1.46 higher. Ethanol is just about 0.3 cents lower. March soybean futures up 8 1/4 cents at $8.81. May at 883.5, 7.5 higher. July futures 888.5, up 6 1/4. And the August beans at 880.5, 5.5 cents higher. November beans were unchanged today at 840. January on out were just a bit lower, down between 1.5 cents and 2 3/4. March bean meal at 278.80, up 2.50. The March bean oil at 30.51, up 20. And the live cattle futures from the CME Group, 82.20, $1.10 higher for the Febs. The April 85.35, up $1.42.5. March feeders at 90.75, $2 higher. And April lean hogs down 52.5 cents at 57.70. You're listening to the CMR. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil now trading $1.52 higher at $39.96 a barrel for the nearby April futures. May contract at $42.76, up $1.49. March ethanol at $1.54.5, 3 cents lower. April, though, up 1.5 cents at $1.54.5. Natural gas at $4.23.6, 13 9/10 higher. March RBOB gasoline at $1.08 3/10, 4 cents higher. And the heating oil for the day up 3 2/10 at $1.20 7/10. Propane futures 62 1/10 cents. Trade there, just about 0.5 cent higher. And the February gold futures at $969.10 an ounce are down $25.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 173 points at 72.88. The U.S. dollar at 86.89, down 0.36. And the CRB index for the day at 203.83 is up 3.43. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sully. He says tonight should be partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range between 22 in northeastern Indiana and 36 in southern Illinois. Wednesday, partly to mostly cloudy skies in the north. A chance of a few showers of snow in Indiana mixed with rain and snow in Illinois. Highs will range from 40 in the far northern parts of Indiana to 62 in southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says colder temps will return to the area this weekend. A cold front will trigger showers, some isolated thunderstorms. Those will happen mostly on Thursday. Some light snow will fall before a cooler and mostly drier weekend. At least two more disturbances are expected to move across the region during the first week of March. More on the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of the hour with Don Day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. The 2009 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting may be our best ever. Featured analysts include Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, U of I Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. That's March 12th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting. The Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. And from L&M Commodities, Wayne Nelson joins us out of his Newmarket, Indiana office. Hi, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, and just 2 weeks, it doesn't seem possible that we're headed into, I think Ed Kieser, who's the chief meteorologist at the radio station, and I were just talking, and he says it's the 19th. Is that right? I think he said it was the 19th, and we started in 91, so we're headed into the 19th or the 20th, one of the two, of these all-day ag outlooks. This is a long-running program, and it's a really good program, and I think Dave's right. He said that we had a pretty good set of panelists and kinds of some neat things happening over there this year. I know you'll be there.
We'll be there and happy to be there and fun to see everybody once a year packing that one large building. Todd, I haven't missed one yet. It's been an annual event that we always look forward to. And, boy, our crowds have grown and so's the quality of some of the speakers. You know, like I say, I remember years ago we thought we had some tremendous lineups and it just seems like you guys keep working just a little harder and asking somebody just a little more higher up the chain and getting up some better speakers every year.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about Perry Dixon. I don't know. I haven't heard too much about him from ADM, but he's pretty far up in the chain over there, so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. We hear about some other folks from ADM in general, and we talk to a few folks from time to time. I think Perry's up on the next level above them in the management system, so that one should be good. Of course, Murray Wise will be there. That'll be fun to listen to him, and we'll hear about weather with Ed Kieser, and that's always good. And you'll be on the soybean panel in the morning, is that right?
We'll be there in the morning. We'll be one of them ready to shoot out of the box and talk about the beans and see what we can have figured out by then and maybe some good strategies of how to use a few options or something here to, you know, put a bottom in these things and still leave the top wide open, Todd, because we'd sure like to be able to have some bottoms under these markets. And I think that we're going to come up with a few plans before then so somebody can they can have something to take home with them.
Well, they'll have to come over to the Beef House. The 10th of March begins fairly early in the morning. You can visit willag.org and find all the details. We probably better stay with the beans for the day because they did manage to end up pretty strong today, given their performance over the past several sessions in a couple, 3 or 4 weeks, I suppose. Most of that on the outside markets?
Well, I think, you know, a couple of things. We've driven them down very hard over the past week, Todd. You know, when the Dow went down to 12-year lows yesterday on Monday, and, you know, the gold and the silver had a good rally going, and today we, you know, did sell off the gold and the silver, which sort of helped put a little oomph back there. Bernanke's comments today, and maybe the ideas that maybe the, you know, we kept using that. There was announcers using the words nationalization of the banks when they kept talking about what we're doing with Citibank, and I think we've shied away from that and really put into that we're going to have some very good transparency, but government support, not nationalization. And of course, the beans have been hit sort of hard because looking as we look to the Ag Outlook Forum, that we look for quite a few acres of beans to be planted and maybe a few less acres of corn, and they've hit the beans because of that reason. So, but I think maybe a little shock. The index funds don't look to be shedding length here before the end of the month. And then we also picked up a little rumor that China maybe bought 2 to 3 cargoes of U.S. beans for last half of March when rumors were out there saying that, well, maybe China's going to back away and go down to Brazil here soon.
Well, what are your hopes for the bean market at this time?
Oh, our hopes are to, you know, get back above $9, maybe into that 920 range, and then we're going to, especially with the tight basis levels, we want to say goodbye to some row crop beans. You know, we're looking for some opportunities out there to, like I say, at $9 on the Novembers, well, we'd sure like to, you know, at least push some forward sales ahead.
So forward sales when we hit $9 on the Novembers, and you're looking to make additional sales or final sales, one of the two, I suppose, on your old crop beans?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably time to, you know, not get rid of everything possibly if you want a few for, you know, your lottery ticket out there, but a good share of them should be gone up in that level.
How about on corn?
The corn, oh boy, you know, we've got plenty of old crop corn. We are looking for some good attitudes towards the new crop corn if the acreage is cut that way. But, boy, this feed usage being down, ethanol usage being down on corn and like that, it's awfully hard to get too bullish old crop corn, Todd. So, you know, on any probably 20, 25 cent bounce, why we're probably going to be selling a little more. If we've talked about this Saturday and commodity week, but if you haven't cored your bins, this corn this year isn't keeping as well, and you might want to do it, if nothing else, a basis contract and core those bins.
Yeah, you say that based on information.
Condition.
Condition and information you're actually getting from producers who've gone out and taken a look at it, and it's not.
And unfortunately, they're getting
condition.
Those things called docks when they haul it into the elevator, and they take less money for that. You know, so we definitely want to stress that you either check your bins, core your bins, and look at that way. If you know, we're not against holding corn. We you know, we're in the storage business for years as an elevator here, and know that that is one thing that works quite well in a lot of cases. But you got to keep the grain in condition.
Yeah, having a dock for your boat is a good deal, but getting docked when you go to the elevator is not.
It's just no fun, and nobody's happy, neither the farmer or the elevator guy having to give you the dock.
All right, anything else, Dad, before I let you go?
Hey, we're just looking forward to the March 10th, Todd.
Okay, thanks much.
All right, bye-bye.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now make sure you do put that March 10th date down on your calendar. Plan to spend the whole day with us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We'll kick off early in the morning and go through about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's Central Time, I think. And we'll finish up there, but it's a good day. Glenn Ring will be in. We'll have Perry Dixon from ADM. Murray Weiss will be there from the Westchester Group, and a whole bunch of our regular analysts. If you haven't ever been to this program over at the Beef House in Indiana, make sure you come. Make sure you make the day. It's only $16 for the entire event. Dave Dickey will be there. He's the director of ag programming at this radio station. In fact, he's here now with the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the top Republican on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee says the time is right for reevaluating U.S. sanctions on Cuba. Republican Senator Richard Lugar of Indiana says it's now time to allow Cuba to buy U.S. agricultural goods on credit. Former U.S. President George W. Bush in recent years allowed Cuba to purchase U.S. food as long as it was purchased in cash. The report stops short, however, of recommending an end to the U.S. embargo on Cuba. The United States and Cuba do not have full diplomatic relations, and Washington has had a full economic embargo on Havana since 1962. President Barack Obama's climate czar says that the Environmental Protection Agency will soon determine that carbon dioxide emissions represent a danger to the public and propose new rules to regulate emissions of the greenhouse gas from a range of industries. The White House is pressing Congress to draft and pass legislation that would cut greenhouse gases by 80% below 1990 levels by the year 2050. Carol Browner also said that the administration is seeking to establish a national standard for auto emissions that could mean tougher efficiency mandates for automakers. U.S. lawmakers say that the World Trade Organization's top court overstepped its authority this month in a ruling against a U.S. method of calculating anti-dumping duties. At issue is a method known as zeroing for calculating anti-dumping duties on imported goods, which has been repeatedly challenged at the WTO in recent years by the EU and other trading partners. Under zeroing, the U.S. ignores or treats as zero examples where the price is actually higher in the U.S. than in the exporting country. The WTO's latest ruling involves a case brought by the EU against U.S. anti-dumping measures on European ball bearings, steel products, pasta, and chemicals. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack is pledging to hire an outside consulting firm to work with all U.S. Department of Agriculture offices to ensure that procedures are fair to minorities and women. Vilsack says the Obama administration is serious about civil rights. Vilsack says, quote, "You've got outright bias and discrimination. Also, you've got good people who don't even know that they're discriminating. For that reason, it's necessary to begin the process of re-educating people." A USDA spokesman said yesterday that decisions about how the consulting firm would go about its work have not yet been made. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, inviting you to come to the all-day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. It's the 10th day of March. It's a Tuesday, just 2 weeks away now. Make sure you book it out for yourself, and you'll be here on the Illinois-Indiana line, right there on I-74. It's exit 4 inside the Indiana line over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is a great program. We're calling it the Changing Paradigm of Farming. We'll kick off with registration at 7:15 a.m. Central, 8:15 Eastern Time. We'll have a few opening remarks, and we'll get right into the soybean commodity panel. Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Dan Zwicker, and Brian Maple will be there. We'll have a cash grain panel with Greg Johnson and Bruce Bossard. Ken Smith of the Andersons out of Delphi Clamors, Indiana, will be there too. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll have a few special folks online with us. Perry Dixon is the ADM economist out of Decatur, Illinois. He'll be with us to talk about grain futures at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. That's 9 Central. We'll talk about land values with Murray Wise from the Westchester Group right here in Champaign, Illinois. He's also out of Naples, Florida, but both of those places. He'll be on hand at 10:20. And then we'll take up production costs and farm revenue for both the banker and the farmer, Bob Bastever, who's the Senior Vice President of Commercial and Ag Business out of First Midwest Bank out of Danville, Illinois, and will join us at 10:35. And then we'll take your questions for those folks. So Perry Dixon, who's the ADM economist, will be there, and Murray Weiss will be there, and Bob Bastever will be there. And then we'll open it up for question and answers. After we take a break, Glenn Ring will be on hand. He's with Glenn Ring Enterprises. You've heard him before on our Commodity Week program, probably. Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist from our own radio station here at WILL, the home of the Closing Market Report, will be there. And then Mike Zuzulo, Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart, and Jackie Vakes will take up the corn panel in the afternoon. And then we'll close out the day, as we usually do, by having U of I Ag economist Gary Schnitke take us through the FarmDoc website and the insurance tools that are there for you to use as you make those crop insurance decisions in the month of March. It's all at the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, the 10th day of March, just 2 weeks away. The cost of the event is $16. That includes a light continental breakfast in the morning and an all-you-can-eat lunch buffet March the 10th. At the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. We hope to see you there.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities, hosting planning seminars at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 3rd in Watseka, Illinois, and at 3 p.m. Wednesday, March 4th in Terre Haute, Indiana. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday afternoon. Each and every Tuesday, we take a look at the energy markets. Once a month, we talk about those with Mike Wolverton. He's an ag economist at K-State in Manhattan, Kansas. He's on the line with us this afternoon. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's start off with consumption in the United States and how it has changed over the last year or so. I think you've been looking at the data in terms of energy consumption and gasoline consumption by consumers and others.
I have. Americans have reduced their driving by 3.6% in 2008. That's 100 billion less miles. I didn't realize it, but Americans drive about 3 trillion miles a year. It's fantastic. But that is having an impact on ethanol demand. And it's kind of interesting, the downturn in driving began in 2007 and apparently bottomed out in November, down 5.4% in November. It looks like it's coming back a little bit now.
And how does it impact ethanol?
Well, ethanol, as you know, is included, is put into gasoline at a certain percentage rate, and if gasoline consumption goes down, so does the consumption of ethanol. And so this is one of the reasons we've seen ethanol prices and demand prices go down, because demand has slacked off.
Well, demand has slacked off. Ethanol prices have gone down. Does it mean that ethanol production facilities are working in the red at this time, or are they making a profit yet?
Well, it's been difficult, and I do my calculation on a hypothetical ethanol plant, and they're in the red right now, according to my plant. However, there are some plants that are very efficient, and I'm sure are making some money, but they're not making very much money. Looking ahead to next year, though, the Congress, well, EPA actually, increased the mandate, and so we're needing a little over 11 billion gallons of ethanol next year, which is positive for corn demand. We should see corn demand for ethanol production go up to about 4 billion bushels next year.
I've got a question about your ethanol plant. How efficient is the one that you have, that you run the numbers on at least? Is it a 2-2, 2-4, 2-6, 2-8? And how does it change when you change that ratio of number of gallons per bushel?
I use 2.8, and I probably should increase it that to about 2.9, because some of the newer plants are increasing the ethanol yield from a bushel of corn. But I'm trying to in this hypothetical model, put together an average plant. And, of course, if the we probably won't see very much increase in yield beyond 2.9. And so we're about at the limit, I think, of the amount of starch we can get out of a bushel of corn to make into ethanol.
Another question, and this comes from a news event from yesterday that talked about the OPEC nations actually holding to their ability to limit oil on the world market. Here, I think we'd call that collusion. But of course, OPEC can do it and gets away with that. How does it impact the U.S. and other world supplies of oil when they either open the spigot or close the spigot arbitrarily?
Well, as you know, OPEC is a cartel, which is a collusive monopoly, and they can control part of the supply. They can't control all of it, and they have been very good about holding true to their commitments to reduce production. They really aren't affecting the price of oil very much right now, because they'd like to see it up around $40 a barrel, and it's stuck at around 40. They're talking about another supply reduction in March. Right now, they're just trying to match the supply to the demand and not doing a really good job at it.
How much do they put on the marketplace? How much of the market do they control, do you know?
A little over 50%. If you throw Russia together, and Russia's been acting in concert with OPEC, it's around 60%. But it's really they really don't have a lock on the world market, so to speak.
Okay, anything to add before I let you go today?
I think we're going to need more corn acres in the spring, Todd, to make enough to produce enough corn to satisfy all the demands, including ethanol.
Oh, I'm going to have to call you back, and we'll talk more about that. How about that? Is that all right?
That's fine, Todd.
Okay, thank you much. And that is Mike Wolverton. He's with K-State University, where he's an ag economist and grain specialist. Joins us here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Mark Report. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Banana Bread Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1884, Casimir Funk was born. A Polish-American biochemist, he came up with the word vitamine. He pursued the idea that diseases such as scurvy and rickets were essentially caused by a lack of vital substances in the diet. Vitamine was later changed to V-I-T-A-M-I-N, vitamin. In 1896, Leo Hirschfeld introduced a chewy candy at his small store in New York City. It was named after his five-year-old daughter, Clara, whose nickname was Tootsie. Yes, that's the Tootsie Roll. By the way, during World War II, Tootsie Rolls were added to the rations of U.S. soldiers for their ability to give a quick energy burst. In 1944, Leo Baekeland was born. A Belgian-born U.S. industrial chemist, he invented the first thermosetting plastic, Bakelite, which did not soften when heated. The plastic was used for insulators as well as molded buttons, knobs, and countless other items. The contribution essentially ushered in the modern plastics industry. And in 1997, scientists in Scotland announced the first successful cloning of an adult mammal, Dolly, a sheep. Dolly lived for almost 7 years before being put down due to progressive lung disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We always check in on the agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Still cool. Sunshine here, though. It's a kind of a nice day.
Really not a bad late February pattern at all, but the expression goes, Todd, sometimes you need to beware the Ides of March, as I do think that next week and beyond, a rather stormy pattern is going to develop across the country. Which is going to make for some very busy weather here in the next couple of weeks. So enjoy the relative calm we have now.
Well, tell me about the not-so-calm weather in the middle of the month.
Well, as we get on into, well, first of all, later this week and weekend, we will see a cold front come in out of central Canada. Now, the air is nothing like the bitter cold Arctic air that we saw in December or January, but do expect some showers, some rain, some snow, and even out ahead of it, a few thunderstorms across the southern Corn Belt as we get on into Friday. Thursday night and Friday. And this system is going to be followed by more cool air and storms about every 3 days, starting the middle to the end of next week. It looks like right on or just after March 4th or 5th for a two-week period, there's going to be several storm systems traversing the United States, which is not unusual. When you leave February and into March, you usually see average precipitation across most of the lower 48 states go up. So we should be seeing an uptick in the weather, and I think we're definitely going to see that the first 14 days of the month.
And speaking of precip going up, will they get more precip in the southern plains? They've been dry.
Unfortunately, Todd, that is one area where I think they're still going to be left out, at least initially. At least for the rest of this week and through the middle of next week, Oklahoma, portions of Texas, portions of Kansas are still going to be suffering from dryness. Now, the middle of March, maybe after the 10th to the 15th, we'll see those storms tracking a little bit further south. But they've got another 10 to 14 days of dry weather in the southern plain.
Where else have you been watching around the globe?
Well, first of all, let's go down south into South America and keep an eye on what's going on. Soil moisture profiles there still very poor in Argentina. Conditions have gotten a little bit better in Brazil in terms of the soil moisture profile and precipitation. When it comes to the outlook for moisture there, Brazil going to have the best chance. Some showers across Argentina. Argentina still showing up as quite dry. Over in Australia, there's some shower activity forecasted to help out with the fire situation there, but still drier than normal in many areas.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a good afternoon.
Hey, you too, Don. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you can listen to this program again anytime you'd like. You can also sign up for our free weekend newsletter. You can hear Don's forecast again, another agricultural weather forecast. And you can check out all the details of our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. That's the 10th day of March. Put it on your schedule right now and go to willag.org and find out all the information. It costs $16, but you get a great meal and a continental breakfast in the morning. It's the All Day Ag Outlook meeting, the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's just off exit 4 inside the Illinois-Indiana border. On the Indiana side, the Beef House in Covington, Indiana will host the All Day Agricultural Outlook meeting. You have a great afternoon. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.